Hey everyone, welcome back to our podcast. This week I have another TA of mine. Her name's Amina. Amina, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Amina, and I'm an international student at SFU. I'm currently TAing for the class Education 2020. And that's it. And I'm doing my master's in educational technology and learning design.
It's very exciting. So, Amina, I have a couple questions for you. Let's get things started. When did you move to Canada?
I moved here about a year ago in August of 2023, so a bit over a year now. I think I arrived here maybe on like the 29th of August, more or less, something like that.
How was the move? How did you find it?
I would say it was relatively easy for me because I had one of my friends living here and I ended up moving in with her and she's my roommate now. So I think like when you're moving to a new city or like a new country, having like a bit of a support system and knowing people who can kind of like help you get settled is such a big important thing. And I think even after I moved here, I knew a couple of people whom I knew lived here, so I reached out to them and I asked if they want to hang out and be friends, and I think that's like really important. But I think honestly, I was really lucky and had just a very smooth move. I had a lot of people here who took care of me and helped me get settled, and I'm very grateful for that.
It's always great when people have support. I have had like experiences, because I was also an immigrant student, but my family moved here with me. So definitely making friends was a big struggle for me. Because I did not have like much time to hang out with them, because I had to like spare some time for my family too.
I will say, like, I think after I moved here, I realized that like having family is such a is just so crucial. Like, I wish I had my family here with me. Like, it's genuinely just one of the best things ever. And they really do just provide so much support, and you just there's so many things that you don't really have to worry about because your family are there and they're gonna be taking care of you. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that you've had like also a good transition. And I obviously making friends is also definitely something I struggled with. And I'm still like I make a lot of effort now just to meet my friends and go out. And I think it's something that you have to be very intentional about if you want to make friends in a new place.
And if you don't mind sharing, what's your country of origin and what
So
language do you speak there?
sorry, what was your second part of the question?
And what languages do they like speak there?
So I'm from Egypt. I come from the city Cairo, which is like the capital, and our main language is Arabic, and we speak like an Egyptian dialect, so it's like still Arabic, just a little bit different. And I'm born and raised there.
Oh, that's really amazing. Is this the first time that you moved abroad for study?
No, when I was in an undergraduate in Egypt, I did a year abroad in Denmark. So I actually lived in Denmark for a year. And then after I graduated, I also moved to the US to work on a theater thing for about like 3 or 4 months. So I've had like a little bit of like experience living abroad and away from my family in different places. So it wasn't like a complete shock to me.
That's fun. What kind of difference did you find in culture and like in terms of university experience in all these different countries that you've been to?
So in terms of culture, I think I would say in Egypt it's way easier to make friends. I think people are a bit more I think people here are friendly as well, but I think people here like to keep to themselves more, and I think it's a bit more of like respecting other people's boundaries and privacy. For some reason we don't have that in Egypt, so that makes it a little bit easier to make friends.
Nor do we have the same in India.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. It's really different. Sorry, that's my cat. And I would say in terms of university, I think university here is a bit more independent in terms of like you have much more of a responsibility to figure out when your classes and like when your exams are, and you kind of like have to take care of yourself because like no one else is going to do that for you.
True.
And I don't know why my experience in my university in Egypt was that there's a little bit l like more support, or like more likely that they're going to help you figure things out. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it here it kind of helps you just be more like focused and aware of like what's going on academically.
Yeah, that's definitely a key point. So what challenges did you face in the first few weeks? Because Canadian like curriculum is so different compared to Egypt.
I think I struggled a little bit because I didn't like I applied to my master's, which is learning design, and I was in the education field. I was a teacher, but I did not know much about learning design and educational technology, and I didn't really know what that was about. And so I think it took me a little bit of time that first semester to kind of like get adjusted to the topic that we're talking about and like figuring out what it is that we're working on. And now it does make so much more sense to me. And I think part of that is because SFU does have like great professors, and all the classes I've taken so far have been like really amazing in their own way. Yeah, and even the people I'm taking classes with, like every semester, it's the same people, and so we've become like a good, like it's like a cohort, and we're good friends, all of us, and that really helps us like move through it, and we can just like help each other, through the classes and all that.
That's great to hear. And thank you for sharing something like so personal. It really helps like painting a picture of where you are from and what language you speak. In terms of academic expectations of SFU, how did you navigate those? Because I believe that it's very different cultures and different communities. So were there any differences in like from your previous experiences?
Honestly, I would say academic expectations. My experience has been that it's the same everywhere in all universities. Whether it's like, writing papers or deadlines or exams, I just really think it's been very similar to what I've experienced in Egypt when I was like an undergraduate there. So I didn't really struggle much with it. I think the only thing that's like up and coming, and we discuss this a lot in my master's degree, is like AI and the use of like people who use ChatGPT to write papers. And I think that has been like a bit of a different thing, because when I was in university as an undergrad, there wasn't AI yet, and it's like a very new thing. And I think teachers and TAs and even like students are still figuring out how to navigate that.
100%.
Yeah, so I think that's been like something that I've noticed has been like majorly discussed recently in my academic life. But otherwise, I would say more or less it's been the same, very, very similar experience, and the expectations are the same as well.
In terms of deadlines and assistance for education, do you think SFU is better than the other universities you've been to in US and Europe?
Yeah, I think I'm not really someone, for example, who misses deadlines, but I have seen other students or like other peers in my class who would request extensions on deadlines. And I think normally professors don't really seem to have a problem unless it like it just out of their hand. But I've seen like professors extending deadlines a lot, and I think that's a really good thing, because at the end of the day, everyone has their personal life and things happen, and sometimes life gets in the way, and you can't really submit your work all the time on time. And I think that's something that I really appreciate, because when I was younger, I just never really thought to go out and ask a professor for a deadline. And I think I always just thought, oh, I really have to submit this on time. And it's still the case, but I think it's nice to know that like there's a bit more of like I think the professors just really care about the students and their well-being and their mental health, which is really nice to see.
Yep, it definitely feels more safe and supported when professors are actually caring about your mental health. And I've seen that in our 220 course too. Professor like specifically mentioned it in the class that if you need help, you can reach out to us. And there's an accessibility learning center at SFU too. So
Yes.
you can definitely reach out for support. In terms of international like student transition programs, do you think SFU supports its students enough?
I did not feel that as a master's student. I think I had to navigate a lot of things on my own. We did have on when I first moved here, we had like an orientation day that I attended, and but it also didn't tell me that much. Again, I think this could be because I'm a master's student, and I think they maybe focus or like do less orientation for people if they're master's students. Maybe undergraduate students who also come from other countries have a better experience. But I definitely felt a bit thrown into the water, and I think when I moved here, I was like, okay, I don't know where I am. I don't know how to find my class. I don't know what my department is or how to find anything about my department. And I think it just took me a lot of time to navigate everything and find everything. And that was definitely like a bit of an independent experience.
The experience, like after I have done like so many podcasts so far, the experience has been quite the same for undergrad students as well. They also don't feel that they are supported enough, no matter if they're domestic students or international. On the first day, they didn't know how to get to their classes. There were not like enough clubs and initiatives to like get to know each other. It was just like class interactions mainly.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Yeah, it's definitely been my experience as well.
What clubs or initiatives of SFU did you find most successful in helping students integrate like academically and socially?
I mean, I didn't really honestly. I haven't been involved with many clubs, not even like in a on a surface way. I think mostly because again, my classes are usually mostly in Surrey campus, and I know you do have club days on Surrey campus and everything, but I don't know why it just feels like Surrey campus is not as taken care of as the Burnaby campus, or like it just doesn't have as many events there, and so I didn't really ever bother. I would say the only like club, well, I don't know if it's a club or a union, but like the TA, the Teachers Association, yeah, the TSSU has been helpful. And like when I first started my first semester and I got a TA ship as well, and I was working as a TA, I think that club was really informative and helpful in terms of I didn't know that SFU, if I'm a TA, they pay for your health insurance as an employer. And that's something that the union told me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have applied for them to do that. And I, you know, like, and like SFU themselves, like, no one informed me. It was something that I just found out because I attended a TSSU meeting. And so I think that for me, that union was like the most helpful one in terms of like knowing my rights and benefits and what kind of things I can get from being, whether it's like a student or like a TA.
That's actually quite surprising that SFU didn't mention all those things. I generally receive emails because I'm an undergraduate student. Do you guys receive emails and notifications as well about such
Yeah,
things?
I mean, I know I receive emails from that union as well. I don't know if it's because maybe I'm signed up or because I'm a TA. Or maybe like all students, I'm guessing all students actually receive it, whether you're an undergrad or a master's. But again, I think it's like something that I, you know, heard about in a meeting, and then, you know, I had to go about myself to figure out how to make that application and send it to SFU. But definitely, like, no one from SFU reached out saying, hey, you're a TA this year. Do you know that you can, you know, do this or you have these benefits? It just didn't feel like someone was going to reach out to help me. It was like, you guys figure it out and send us what you need to send us, more like kind of thing.
Yeah, I can only imagine how challenging that must have been. And knowing that you're not well supported, that makes you feel a bit more sad in ways and upset too, because you're in charge of your own learning.
Yeah, I wouldn't say sad, but I think it just puts a little bit more pressure on me to kind of like, you know, I think like when you're moving to a new country, you already have a billion things that you have to figure out. And I have to go to so many places and apply for papers and there's so many things that I needed to do. And I think it would have been nicer to have a bit more support or more things that are made easier for me so that, something's taken off my plate.
Definitely. Hearing this makes me wonder, what's one piece of advice that you want to give to other students who are starting their masters at SFU?
That's interesting. I would say one piece of advice is definitely try your best to make friends and to have a support system, and that could be, your roommate or people with you in class, or even you can reach out to professors to help you figure out things. There are some things within my master's that I had no idea about, and luckily my advisor is really helpful. And so I will say find a support system and don't be scared to reach out and ask for help, whether it's academically or otherwise. People will help you, but you do have to make that effort and go out there.
Definitely. You actually have to be pro very proactive in order to make friends in Burnaby. I felt the same way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If you could go in past and tell something to Amina in August, before starting at SFU, what would you say?
I would tell her to get her driving license as soon as she can, because now I'm trying to get it and it's definitely a longer process and it's not easy. And I think driving in Vancouver is something that you at some point should have. You should have your driving license if you can. So I would tell her to just work on getting her license as soon as she could.
Definitely. I know the wait time for booking the test is 3 or 4 months, right?
Yeah, I booked mine. I have my test in January and I booked it, I think, in October or September, something like that.
Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
so
Some time.
yes. And then if you don't pass, then you have to wait another, 3 or 4, it's crazy. It's a lot of wait time.
So what's lastly, what's one myth about moving abroad for university that you would like to debunk?
Oh, that's an interesting question. What's one myth?
Something that you thought happens in this way, and actually it's not.
Honestly, I will say I really thought, let's see, what did I think that is like? I don't know. I think I thought that it would be way more scarier just to be on my own out here. But it really isn't. It's, I think, all you have to do is really just make your home a home, like you're moving to a new place. And I think if you put in an effort to just make it a very cozy and homey place, then living in the city, all by yourself doesn't have to be a very scary thing. And I think sometimes when I get homesick, I would think that you always think there's so much more fun happening when you're not there, but that's not the truth. The last time I visited my home, of course I loved seeing my family, but things, life moves on, but at the same time nothing changes. Does that make sense? And so, sometimes I have this fear of missing out on things, and it's the way things are, and it's okay. I think if you move abroad and you're scared of missing out on things, I think that's okay, and life is happening there, but it's also happening here, so you're still
And I also believe that you need to retell yourself that there's a reason that you moved to another country.
yeah, that's really important. Yeah, I think sometimes if I'm feeling really down or having a bad day, I remind myself of how far I've come. And that's genuinely one of the best things you can do, because you just looking back on all the things that you've done and all the things that you have achieved, it like for me, I look back and I'm like, that's amazing, because I didn't know that I could even do that. I didn't know that I could, move to a country so far away all by myself and move into a new place and get, get an ID and go to university. I just didn't know that I could do all of these things. And so it's good to remind yourself of how far you've come.
That's definitely true. Your journey is like so inspiring.
Thank you. Sweet. Yeah, thank you.
On that note, we are going to end this week's episode. Thank you for your time, Mina.
Thanks for
You've
having
been
me. Of
like through
course.
so much.
Thank you.
It's amazing to see like where you are now and where you've come from. It's definitely inspiring. It's stories like yours that really show the power of resilience and
I appreciate that.
the power of believing in yourself, definitely. I
Thank
love
you.
the message.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's so nice to hear that, and I really appreciate, and yeah, good luck with everything with the podcast.
Thank you. That is it for this week, folks. See you next week for the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.